The Dark Side of Chocolate, a documentary about trafficking of children and child labor in the international chocolate industry. 70% of the world's supply of cocoa beans comes from West Africa, where there are an estimated 15,000 child slaves who harvest them. So find out if your favorite chocolate has a bitter taste this Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. at Greater Boston Vineyard in the Multipurpose Room. It's 170 Ringe Avenue in Cambridge. For more information, visit notforsalecampaign.org.
Okay, maybe not last and definitely not least. Next Thursday, there's going to be a house party and fundraiser for the Center for Popular Economics, which is a nonprofit collective of political economists based in Amherst. Enjoy light refreshments and hear about the fight for economic justice with two great speakers, Juliet Shore, a professor at Boston College and author of several books, including her most recent, Plenitude, The New Economics of True Wealth, and Gerald Friedman, professor of economics at UMass Amherst. His books include Reigniting the Labor Movement. He'll include some popular economics games in his presentation on the state budget crises and the attack on labor. And the work of political cartoonist and artist Nick Thorkelson will be on display as well. Great speakers, great folks, next Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. This is a fundraiser for the Center for Popular Economics. For more information, call the Center for Popular Economics at area code 413-545-0743.
And the Bikes Not Bombs annual bike-a-thon was postponed due to rain. It's been rescheduled for next Sunday, June 26th. It's not too late for you to sign up to be a bike-a-thon rider.
Oh, it's too late for me.
There's a fully supported ride for all skill levels, Linda. So every rider makes a difference. Grassroots support is essential to the continuation of Bikes Not Bombs, local youth programs, and international development projects, promoting bicycle technology as a positive tool of empowerment and responsible stewardship of the earth. Everyone is welcome to the Green Roots Festival as well. That's the Bike-a-thon after party. Next Sunday, June 26th, from noon to 5:30 p.m. in the park across from the Stony Brook T Station in Jamaica Plain. This joyous environmental fest features kids' activities, local environmental and social justice organizations, food, a dance fiesta with live bands in the park, and more. For more information, check out bikesnotbombs.org.
And we are so out of time. The views and opinions we've been expressing on this program have been those of the participants and the various people drafted to participate in one way or another, and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Please stay tuned for humans who come on after us here at the great 88 WMBR Cambridge. Stay strong, watch out for Bruins, and see you next week.
مرحباً في Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I have a scratch in my throat. Here to help me itch that scratch is Erno. Erno, مرحباً.
Hello, Doctor.
Erno, welcome to you.
I hope the soothing sounds of my voice help itch that scratch on your soul and also the one on your throat.
Amen, Brother Erno. Also here to scratch the itch is Brother Zoro. Zoro, marhaban.
Thank you, Doctor, for having me on the show, as usual, and thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well. This scratch is an interesting point of view on the, I don't know how you say, perturbations of the soul, the things that drive us.
Yes. What are our itches? What are our scratches?
Yes, they come without an impulse of some sort. They seem to appear of their own accord, and sometimes it is not so clear why they have disappeared.
Some things, like all feelings, a scratch can be mysterious. However, the one that I have described today is no mystery. Indeed, just as I was walking and not running to the studio this afternoon or evening, I was whistling, as is my custom.
Which whistle?
The vocal whistle, as well as a spiritual whistle. I think it is a form of prayer when it is done as well as I can whistle. In any case, I walked into a swarm of flies whistling without realizing my mind was elsewhere, creating fantastical images as I was with my lips. And of course, I inhaled one or two of the flies, and I think that at least one of them perished in the back of my throat, yielding evidently an itch.
And this is the lack of mystery, the explanation is a fly.
This would also explain the buzzing sound at the back of your voice.
Yeah, precisely. You know, there was a period in my life.
I don't hear a buzzing sound.
It comes and goes, but the issue is, of course, there was a period in my life, I think, after the age of reason and before the age of enlightenment, when I would be very panicked at having just consumed a fly, thinking to myself, quite in a panicked way, what could happen?
There is, I think, a folk remedy of some kind in which to get the fly, you swallow the spider.
You simply swallow another fly.
Oh.
Of the opposite gender.
Perhaps I am misinformed. I thought it was a spider.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as always, if anyone would like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810. It's very early, but...
Follow the fly.
Why not? Caller, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome to you, caller.
Yes, I want to remark about this fly you swallowed. First, one good remedy for there would probably be some mouthwash. When you get home, gargle with some mouthwash. It'll, you know, get the any toxins from the fly's body out of your throat. Secondly, you know, in the Hindu culture, the Brahmin priests, they're such strict vegetarians that they used to have, I don't know if they still do this today, but used to have people walk before them, sweeping the road before them so they wouldn't step on insects. And also they wore masks over the face so they wouldn't inhale insects.
I wonder if the sweeper would kill any insects.
Yes, that's a good point. So that's kind of a non-productive way of walking around. But it's the principle that they're saying the Brahmin priests would not want to harm an insect. But
which is
probably impossible to do. If you walk on grass or you walk on dirt, you're going to step on some insects de facto. You know, it can't
absolutely
be helped.
Because they are so small, even if it's without intention.
But that's all I wanted to say. So, yes, I guess it's a pretty common experience to swallow an insect in the summertime.
Absolutely, and you know, as I said before, of course, I welcome anyone's folk remedies or traditional healing methods, but I'm not really afraid of any ill consequence here.
Well, like I said, the mouthwash, like Listerine, don't want to mention any brand names. But, you know, these are that kind of mouthwash.
Right.
Will dissolve any toxins in the back of your throat, and you should be okay. I'm not a doctor, mind you, but it seems like it will go away, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if it is the will of the universe that I perish because of a fly, then so be it.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's your time to go yet, though.
No.
You have too many shows to do on Friday nights in the future.
Well, yeah, I certainly hope so.
I'll leave it to some other caller to call in, so I'll listen to your show.
Thank you so much for joining, caller.
Okay, bye.
Ma'asalama. Let's bring in a second voice, why don't we? Caller 2, marhaban.
Hi.
Welcome, caller.
Hello, caller.
Hi, I am a fly. I am the voice of a fly. I climbed into a pot, and there was a pot in a bakery, and I was baked into a baguette.
Mm.
And then when I was consumed by a boy, I stayed in his throat and took over the control of his voice box.
That is an interesting thing to relay.
So you survived baking?
I'm unclear exactly which parts of the story are something of a metaphor and which parts I am to take as a literal truth. I think there are many degrees. If perhaps you may clarify for me, that would be great.
Yes, there are many unbelievable things about this story. Namely, I do not believe
that this boy ate
a whole baguette.
I do not think they are unbelievable. I think that it is the truth from a certain point of view.
Mm-hmm.
In that light,
let's ask a practical question also. Certainly the fly may control the voice, but how is it that the fly is hearing the radio and the conversation here? Is the fly in the phone?
Yes, I am in the phone.
Yeah, that was a trick, you see, because you earlier said that you were consumed.
I'm in the throat of a boy,
mm-hmm.
and I have a phone inside. I brought it with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Technology these days is quite fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm beginning to believe this boy never ate a whole baguette. I cannot do that myself. I am much larger than a boy.
Mm. It's certainly true.
Well, caller, tell us about the life before entering the baguette boy.
Yes. I was living in the in a light bulb, in a broken light bulb. There was a small opening for me, and I crawled into the light bulb in a hardware store in the ceiling.
Well, of course.
And then I was transported in a cardboard box.
And if I may probe this aspect of your psyche, when you lived in the hardware store, what was your form of nourishment?
I'm sorry?
How did you eat?
How would you have nourished in the hardwoods?
Mm-hmm. I would eat lint, because I would crawl outside and find lint in the pocket of people working in the hardware store. I survived on lint for 7 years.
Speaking of nourishment, how about we nourish ourselves with another voice in this conversation?
It would be lovely.
If you would like to call in, the number is again 617-253-8810.
Caller 3, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'd like to say that I've listened to your program maybe 6 times now.
Thank you, caller.
And, I've been looking forward to have something to offer as a caller, and now I believe that I do.
Caller, if I may, you always have.
Well, I appreciate that very much. So my roommate, who I will call M, also had a scratch in his throat. And it's my humble suggestion to you to use a kitchen sponge.
In the back of the throat?
Yes.
And did N also afterwards swallow the throat, the sponge, or... was he able to retrieve?
Well, you see, he swallowed a kitchen sponge.
I see, as a remedy.
And it eradicated the itch.
Was it a new one, or was it one that had been blessed?
Oh, it was a very old, dirty kitchen sponge.
So it was already infused with the spirit of cleaning?
Yes. It's seen many dishes.
So the problem here is that I do not have such a prepared kitchen sponge.
I must caution you, Doctor.
Well, these things take time.
Yeah, so...
It may be tempting to use some steel wool because it is quite useful in the kitchen, but I do not advocate that you use it as a substitute for this particular remedy. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid it must be a kitchen sponge.
And tell us, what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, we tried a number of things. We tried tacos first. This afternoon we had tacos, and they didn't work. And then we made coffee. And then naturally, after the feast of tacos and coffee, we had to clean our dishes. And we decided we may as well clean the itch in his throat.
And so, did you clean the dishes with the sponge after it had been consumed, or did the sponge...
No, this is previous to the consumption of the sponge.
So this is the final part of the ritual.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be tacos.
Is there a better recommendation, or is it simply a matter of preference?
Well, sorry?
Is there a food which is most appropriate to this ritual?
Oh, I'd say any number of foods, considering that the sponge has been used for several months now.
Well, caller, I would like to, first of all, let us all congratulate your lifelong companion on relieving himself of the fly itch, because, as I know firsthand now, it can be particularly irritating.
I believe so. He was sleeping for a number of days. I think it was 5.
Secondly, let me propose the possibility that you may have considered that it was simply a matter of the body having an opportunity to heal itself, that finally rid, as it would, a hair tightly wound about the uvula, eventually it will be expelled, even if it is knotted.
Oh, I see.
So I wonder if it was not that, and simply Father Time healing the throat, well, as opposed to the dish soap.
You can only wonder about these things.
Because I, frankly, the reason that I am trying to reason my way away from this possibility is simply that I have no love for dish sponges or their ilk.
You know, I'm sort of interested, I think, in the more abstract
moral
consideration of the itch and its relationship to our own passions and the way that an itch may consume us, and even though we do not want it.
Caller, tell us how it is that your partner consumed the fly.
Oh, I think he may have been riding his bike much too fast.
With an open mouth?
Well, naturally. Because when you're riding your bike much too fast, you can only scream in enjoyment. So I'm sure that's when you swallowed the fly. May have been a mosquito, though. You know,
I can see the mosquito is much more likely to cause an itch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That seems to be the purpose of a mosquito.
Yes, and the fly is probably a bit more greasy.
Well, good luck with your throat. And thank you for talking.
Well, caller, thank you for calling and for sharing your advice with us and for listening.
Oh, I'm glad to be of any sort of help.
Thank you, caller.
Goodbye.
Merci.
These itches, they're strange things, but they're a wonderful metaphor for problems or disturbances of the soul, because you really don't know where they originate from. I once, after a long night of working with my potions, I woke up with what I assumed was, and what I was convinced was, an itch on my soul. Something I felt I needed to accomplish, I needed to do, and it would not. It was like a burning fire.
Solar itch.
Yes, a solar. Yes, I was convinced it was a solar itch.
And so.
And I felt I needed to get something done. There was something I must do.
It was like a sunburn?
Yes, I would say so. It looked somewhat like a sunburn, but on.
Oh, this is in your psyche. This is not actually an itch on your skin.
Well, yes, I searched my psyche for the source of this itch, and I could not, for the life of me, find it. I talked to some potionology colleagues, and they set me straight, and they say, no, Erno, there is a cream for that, so.
And so that is how you were able to heal the solar itch.
Yes.
See, and I am determined simply to let time wear away the now destroyed and damaged part of my throat. And I'm confident that it will do so. Without a cream.
And I think perhaps if you had claimed it, it would happen the other way. I mean, it may be okay no matter what your preference is. Yeah, it is not too far beyond reason, I think, to say that an itch may go away even if it is not scratched in the same amount of time.
Absolutely.
In fact, the most violent of an itch that you may have, some of them, they do not respond to a scratch. They respond the best to being ignored. It is like the rash of an ivy.
Indeed. If it is given too much attention, blood will rush to the site of the rash, increasing it in density and severity.
Mosquito again.
And of course, the cream we're talking about for the solar itch is obviously the cream of one's relationships. Those people around us that help us really understand our own soul and our own being.
Yes, I think so. And the pursuit of our passions.
Yes, it is only through these methods that we figure out who we truly are and what it is that irks us and drives us, and what we must scratch.
I'd also like to add that I feel for a moment the universe is tormenting me. I previously consumed a large quantity of ice cream, and milk does a very strange thing to my stomach, and so I'm walking here and I'm feeling very full of gas. And then this fly, let's take another call. 617-253-8810 if you'd like to join. Oh no, caller, no. Again, 617-253-8810. Let's try another caller. Caller, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome, caller, marhaban.
Hi
to you,
I
caller.
Just was reminded of something that my grandmother used to tell me when I was a child, which directly relates to this conversation. And it first came up when I was young and I had the chicken pox.
Yes, this is a very itchy disease.
Yes, very, very itchy disease. Now, though it was traumatic and my grandmother helped me get through it, I did learn something through the trials and tribulation of this itchy disease.
Please do share.
And it was that perhaps it was in my mind. Grandmother said, what came first? The itchy or the scratchy?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have noticed occasionally that I will unconsciously scratch at some piece of my arm or something, and then I will notice an itch only
exactly.
After I have stimulated it.
So what you're saying, caller, is that sometimes these itches that irk us are really, they're really caused by our own actions. Our own itchy minds. Yes.
Precisely.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah, there is an ancient saying in Arabic, which is that the sound mind will be found in the sound body. So likewise, it seems that the itchy body will encompass an itchy mind.
Itchy mind. Wow. Love that.
Let's bring in another voice. Stay with us, caller.
Okay.
617-253-8810 if anyone would like to join and help me. Caller 4, marhaban. So this sounds like a possible treatment. Caller.
Wow, that's itchy throat indeed.
Absolutely. Caller, thank you for your empathy.
Is everything okay?
I think the caller may be so overcome with emotion that he and she or she may be unable to speak.
I feel sympathy for the other caller, and I've been there.
Absolutely. Well, let's take that caller off the air. I think that level of fear and nervousness is unhealthy.
Yes.
When you gargle one's soul, you never know what you end up with.
Never.
It's probably
when you gargle, you never know.
Probably not good.
What's gonna come up?
Absolutely. Let's bring another voice on. 617-253-8810 callers. Marhaban, caller 7. Marhaban.
Yes, hi.
Welcome.
Sometimes when I have my own an itch, and I scratch and produce my own cream.
You produce your own clean?
Yes.
I know that.
Your own clean from an... Is this an expression?
Yes.
caller?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry, I do not understand here. You produce your own clean from...
Clean? Lotion.
Oh, cream!
Cream.
Excellent. And is it a helpful cream?
Satisfying.
Satisfying to whom? To you?
The in the scratching process.
Oh, I understand. But scholar, it's important to resist this sort of scratching because I'm not sure that those creams, what seems to be a cream, may actually be pus, which is the result of your body fighting an infection. So these are dead white blood cells that rot. And does it have a smell, an unpleasant odor?
Like a vino.
It's not a cream, caller.
I see.
It's really gross.
I see.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you for being with us. Let's bring a different voice in, caller. I'm a little bit afraid. 617-253-8810. Caller 8, marhaban.
Greetings, humans.
Welcome.
Oh. I'm sorry?
Welcome, marhaban.
Oh, thanks. I'm actually here with the New Haven Boys Choir, who have composed a song sort of about flies. Just a quick tune, wondering if you guys would be interested in hearing it.
I would love to. Should we turn off the music also?
Get out of here. Sure. It might be nice. Just for maybe 20 or 30 seconds.
Okay, absolutely, caller. Let me pause this. And also maybe we can...
I'm practically itching with anticipation.
Oh, no, I'm already...
We are just waiting to scratch.
Well, let me know when you're ready. I'll get my conductor's baton out.
No, absolutely, caller. Caller, are you still with us?
Yeah, are you guys ready?
We're ready. Thank you, caller.
Okay, here we go.
Faster, faster, faster. Woo! They are dusty. No man. Watch out for the... Don't get caught with a
in your eye.
You were as tall as you need to be.
Caller. Caller, thank you so much. That was...
So I expect no less of New Haven. That is wonderful.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you. And my itch kind of went away. No, it's back.
I felt my grandmother's hands caressing my neck when you were singing that.
Wow, that was wonderful. Well, if anyone else would like to join, it's 617-253-8810.
Please bring your choirs.
Yeah, or just to say hello. It's not necessarily a requirement that you have a remedy for my throat condition.
A requirement.
Yeah, precisely, that you bring your own group of singing gentlemen. Let's bring in another voice to help heal. Caller 9, marhaban.
Yes, I have a quick comment.
Please.
They say the truth is hard to swallow, the old saying. So I think when you swallow the insect, you swallow the truth.
Well, absolutely. It has an exoskeleton much like our inner skeleton.
Six legs and the truth, yes.
Absolutely.
So actually, it's a good thing that the insect was a carrier of the truth, that you swallowed it. So, and the truth is hard to swallow, so that's... Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. So they go together. But I should also... Excuse me. It's coming up. I should also say that insects are a potential vector of disease, and so I do not encourage anyone to test themselves by swallowing raw, undercooked insects.
If you're an ant eater, that's your diet. But if you're a human being, maybe you should stick to salads and cheese. You know,
if you cook an insect, I think it can be prepared in a safe way. I'm not sure. But certainly raw insects, there pose some danger.
Yes.
Many viruses, many diseases are transmitted by insect.
But your insect you swallowed today was swallowing truth. So you should expect some enlightenment to follow.
I sincerely wish this is the case.
Okay, take it easy.
Thank you, caller. Let's bring in another voice. It's 617-253-8810. Caller 11, marhaban.
Ant eater.
It's like this old saying, all I've got is this fly in my throat, six legs and the truth.
I think actually that saying is quite recent. I think we just said it. Perhaps I am not well-versed. I'm not sure.
Let's bring in another voice. 617-253-8810 once again. Caller 12, marhaban.
Marhaban. How are you?
Good. I'm well. Alhamdulillah, I'm surviving
the fly
swallowing.
The fly. Yeah.
And well, how are you, caller?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to say that I think that swallowing a fly or any other insect, our bodies take care of any kind of germ or anything once it you know, travels down to our stomachs and the gases and juices in your stomach.
Well, I believe that there is some attempt, but it is known that the body is not perfect.
Well, yeah, no, the caller makes an excellent point, however. There are two points, caller, though, that make this difficult, and this is why I'm hesitating to encourage everyone to simply consume insects. Mm-hmm. One is that there is a class of pathogen which can survive the acid of the stomach. In particular, the virus which causes ulcers, which is Helicobacter pylori, it survives in the acid of the stomach. Secondly, it is possible, as is my case today, that the insect will sting the throat or the lining of the esophagus on the route to consumption. So it is a risk. Mm-hmm. Just putting it in your body. But it's a very good point that the caller makes, that Ebola or other viruses that ordinarily would cause a lot of distress will be destroyed completely by the process of digestion.
But there's also something that you can buy in any drugstore or CVS or one of those stores that people use to help have when they have sore throat. It's like an anesthetic. It's called Choraseptic.
And you spray it
in the back of your throat, and it sort of numbs your throat for a while. So maybe if you wanted to try something like that to.
Yeah, I should have done it before coming to the program. I'm clearing my throat constantly. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it was just moments before I entered the studio that the insect entered. But thank you, caller. I will research this further and hopefully we'll be back next week fully.
Okay. You take care.
You too. Thank you, caller.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bye.
617-253-8810. If anyone would like to join. I think the issue with the fly I will survive. My throat is closing a little, but it's fine.
I think as long as you keep love in your mind, you may harness the healing powers of your own spirit.
Absolutely, love or itch or any other emotion, I think, can be harnessed.
And the possibility that there will eventually become a synergy between you and the fly.
Or perhaps we can turn on the metaphorical fly catcher in your soul. And this will take care of these strange transient elements that seek to destroy your calm. We all must have one of these fly catchers. We must be resilient to these many, many things that can destroy the equilibrium of our lives.
No, absolutely. Absolutely, it's important to maintain that equilibrium, especially once it's been achieved. Callers, and I say callers, of course, I mean Erno and Zoro here.
I do come a calling.
It's true. Erno and Zoro, these are the risks which one exposes oneself to these possibilities when one is whistling. It's rare to think of whistling, other than in stealth settings in time of war, as being a risky thing. When one is sneaking around, who is not wishing to be caught by an antagonist with a gun.
But there are many, many things in life, I think, that may, in the chaos, cause discomfort, which do not seem outwardly to be distressful.
In the chaos?
Yes, if you are walking along and instead of whistling, perhaps you are reading a map, you may trip.
So that is the behavior that you undertake, which is risky.
I think that my point is actually that all behavior comes with risk, and even to do nothing is a risk. Perhaps this is the most important risk of all, is that if you take no action, you risk everything.
You risk never whistling.
No,
is life without spiritual whistles?
It's an unacceptable risk. But Erno and Zoro, what are the risks that you take habitually without thinking?
That is an interesting question, because I am examining my own life in context and to say to myself, what is it that I do that I do not think of? And it is quite hard.
I love that moment of silence, that self-reflection.
I think perhaps this is a question which is better answered by one's colleagues and their friends than the person themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes try to cross the street without looking. And by this I mean jumping into a situation without the hindrance of worry to try to get the most out of it. And sometimes the spiritual traffic may hit you, but it's a risk worth taking.
Absolutely. I think that a person can be cautious, but it's important to cross that spiritual road sooner or later.
Without looking and never at a crosswalk. For the spiritual roads have no maps, no crosswalks, no corners and no intersections. They loop strangely and without order through the maze that is life. It's actually a lot like driving around Cambridge, but this is the only way to live life.
Erno, I think that you and I will agree that the behavior that Zoro takes, which is somewhat risky, is that he tends to make grand gestures while walking and speaking. And I think that sooner or later he will hit large animal or bird of prey.
Actually, this reminds me of an instance which is, I would say, similar to what you have described. I was walking with my friends, and in order to better converse with them, this was rather recently, I was walking backwards and in front of them, so that the conversation, you see, would be more facilitated by the direction of our, communication. And I did not foresee the possibility that I would run into somebody who is coming towards my back.
Presumably was also walking backwards.
I am not sure. I do not remember much. I am actually told of this day. In retrospect, I awoke at the hospital. It was quite distressing. So it is very possible that the other person was walking backwards as well.
Mm-hmm. These are the sorts of risks that one must expose oneself to in order to facilitate communication, and it's exacerbated by the surgical opening at the back of the skull. I wonder if I know we are all familiar with the myths of a person who sacrifices one or both eyes in order to gain wisdom.
Yes, I think, is it perhaps the Norse god, Odin?
Odin also, yes.
Odin, I think, is of one eye in order to have more wisdom.
There was also a wise guy in the Greek mythology who had sacrificed both eyes for the sake of wisdom and to see the future.
A wise guy, huh?
Precisely, he became very wise. Let's bring in a wise person now. 617-253-8810, and the wisest of you need not call. Caller 18, marhaban.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to point out one more thing that you have ignored here. That is, when you whistle, the possibility exists very strongly that in a wrong circumstance, a large dog may come and maul you, because for them, this is a signal to come. It's, you know, the summoning for them.
Or to call for an animal by whistling.
Yeah, well, you know, we have trained them, in many cases, to have a meaning for whistling very different from that which we have for other people. You know, that gets lost in this conversation, and I know that many times I myself have had to stop whistling, for example, when walking past a dog pound, a dog park, something of this nature, because the results could be unpredictable.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have, it's happened to me more than once that I have walked by a production of a film or a documentary whistling my lungs off and been asked repeatedly to silence my infernal whistling. But of course, I whistle very loudly and melodically and rarely hear anyone when they are speaking to me. I wonder if the whistles are attractive to dogs, because dogs bark at me whether I am whistling or not. I think often because I carry food with me.
You raise an interesting point, because it occurs to me now that you say that whistling near a film production is discouraged. I myself have been discouraged from whistling in the viewing of films. Mm. Very often in the movie theater, without thinking, it just happens. Exactly, just like that. Mm-hmm. And perhaps it's I don't know, silence is at the core of the film world, but...
Yes, it seems this is something of a tradition. I'm not sure exactly which country it hails from.
It's ironic, however, because I think the goal of the film is to disseminate information, but we all know that people accept information most interactively. I had a friend who embodied this philosophy in much of the way that you describe by burping whenever a person opens their mouth in a screen without speaking. So they would open their mouth and my friend would belch.
Vicarious digestion is very common.
Absolutely. And I think it was regarded as infantile and immature, but there is a greater philosophical issue which is being ignored.
And the gastrointestinal disorder, which is, again, more common than people realize.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you very much. I just wanted to help. I will leave you be.
Thank you so much for the help, Carl.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye.
617-253-8810 if you would like to help. Excuse me.
And there, I think some help has come. No?
But let's once again ask about this blindness, the voluntary blindness. So I wonder about other forms of blindness which may voluntarily be taken.
Yes, the mask which we may wear perhaps voluntary but perhaps unnoticed.
I myself have dealt with potions that in taken in certain quantities can remove one's memory of the past, so you enter the future totally blind and totally on a blank slate, and it changes your soul for the better. You're not burdened by thoughts about what did I do last night that made today happen. You don't worry about these things because there's no way you can know. It separates you and you are like an infant entering into the future.
So
but with the wisdom of an adult.
In your memory of these events, there is a gap.
Yes, yes.
That is quite interesting.
It can be a transcended turning point in one's life if used correctly. So it's not only physical blindness that we should be talking about, but
temporal blindness as well.
Temporal blindness. Emotional blindness.
Is that why, and spiritually, there is...
And there are other senses, of course, to be blind to. I myself am not blessed to have a very acute sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
And in this sense, I have quite dim vision. And as far as I am aware, there is not a mechanism by modern technology to repair this as there are for the eyes.
One final caller, then we accept them now. 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Hey, this is Matt.
Matt, welcome.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Welcome, Matt.
Oh, hi. I think I'm going to be a little late for the next show.
Excellent, Matt.
No more than 10 minutes late. I'll be there by 8:10.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Thank you.
Shall we have to meditate in this place?
Yeah, let's try a different caller, maybe. Caller 19, marhaban.
Hello.
Welcome.
I am calling about blindness and flies.
Yes, please, caller.
Do not flies have many, many eyes?
Yes, I believe actually this is quite an interesting point. The fly eye, the ocular piece of a fly, is a compound eye. And this means that there are many lenses to the eye, but at the same time, it sacrifices the acuity of the vision.
If a fly is blind only in one of its eyes, it would still be considered partially blind.
I think partial blindness makes blindness into a continuum.
But is there a way of determining how blind a fly can be? And
I'm
what
not
other
sure.
senses does it rely on when it flies into one's mouth and
It is quite difficult in my experience. Although, of course, we did claim we did have a fly on the air earlier to speak with. But in my experience, it is quite difficult to get a fly to sit for a medical examination, especially the visual kind. They are not very patient or communicative, and so it is very difficult to test these things rigorously.
Mm. I really regard flies as being somewhat
arrogant about their vision.
I'm not sure actually, but I was.
Does that make them bad patients to sit and be examined?
That's interesting as a problem for a patient. As patient sits and says, you know, does this hurt? And the patient says, nothing hurts. I feel nothing. The doctor says, do you see this A? He says, I see the A, I see everything, the world is perfect, why am I here?
And I have some pet flies and have named them and am able to only bring two of them to come when they are called. And I wonder if it is because they are feeling inferior because they have some sort of partial blindness.
How is it that you blinded the flies, caller?
Pardon me?
How did you go about blinding the flies?
Soaking them in some acidic liquid.
So you burned the flies in acid?
Perhaps pulling one of their hairs out.
I'm confused. Is this an hypothetical situation, or this is in fact how this occurred?
This was a scientific experiment, and I was trying to determine how blind is partially blind in a fly. Because in people, partially blind can be very blind.
I'm sure that a fly, I mean, I've met many flies which did not appear to have a sense of where they were going, even if they were of a full vision for a fly. They are going forwards and backwards, and it seems that they have no regard for whether or not there is an object in the way until they have encountered it with their body.
They appear to have no direction when they fly, but no point in every direction is like no point at all, and yet they make their point clearly by landing on something and gathering something with their eyes and their legs.
But caller, I think we are all blind. I wonder if Erno and Zoro would agree. There are things clearly there that we are blind to. Often
yes.
We do not see love or happiness or also
yes.
Itches. There are things that simply our vision system, which we pay so much attention to.
Yes.
Cannot see.
I think this is certainly true, and that the great exercise of your life is to open in as many eyes as you may internally.
Keep as many eyes open as possible.
Yes, and that if you are more receptive to the information which is around you, you may have more course of action. You may synergize with the environment more.
And we open our internal compound eye.
But are we really... I think the claim of these various prophets and deities that blinded themselves voluntarily is that our attention is finite, and in order to fully open some of these eyes, we must sacrifice others. I wonder, do any of you agree with this possibility?
I do agree that is so visionary.
You know, I'm certain that there are effects which will be more manifest if you undergo some kind of process such as this, but I believe it is possible to attempt without harming yourself, without destroying your current capabilities to extend your reach.
Yes. Extending the outreach is part of vision and not being blind.
Absolutely. It's such a risk.
Thank you for your interesting conversation and knew many interesting conversations.
Well, thank you, caller, for adding color and making it more interesting.
Well, thank you very much, and good night now.
My salam. Well, Erno, Zoro, unfortunately, we have consumed another hour.
How quickly time flies.
I was blind to the clock.
Indeed, how quickly it flies into the back of your throat and bites you there.
There is a great phrase, I think. It is Marx. Time flies as an arrow and fruit flies as a banana.
Well, Zoro, thank you very much for that, and I will see you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Ara. Thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there and those callers which we did not reach.
As-salamu, Zoro. Erno.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. As always, you never fail to scratch my itches.
Erno, it's always wonderful to have you. I am Diktor Janis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We are here every Friday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight on WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Ma'a salama.